Assassin. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, it's only appropriate to start the show out like this. Whoop that trick! Whoop that trick! Whoop that trick! Whoop that trick! And that's because the Lakers whooped that trick. And if you want to know who that trick is, it's the Memphis Grizzlies. Holy shit, I could not believe that the Lakers actually not only won the series, but kicked their ass. They whooped that trick. And that's what you get, Grizzlies, for shouting out little slogans like that and putting yourself out there like that. When you lose, we's gonna make fun of yous. And so the Lakers moved on in dominating fashion to the Western Conference semifinals. They have not made me a believer just yet, and I will get into that when we get when I break down the matchup between the Golden State Warriors. But it is awesome to see that they whooped that trick, and I love that they got to do it. It would have been even more hilarious had they been able to dim the beam like Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors did yesterday. Holy shit! I could not wait for the stupid Kings to lose because I hate the Kings. And one of the reasons why, I mean, there's two reasons why I hate the Kings. Number one, they used to be a rivalry of the Lakers. You can't be considered a rivalry when you don't win anything, and they haven't been shit in, like, what, 20 years up until this year. So it's no longer a rivalry, but for me, I still hate the Kings. But the main reason why I can't stand the Kings is they have some the biggest, like, crybaby fans ever. They still sit around and cry about losing to the Lakers in the early 2000s in the Western Conference Finals. Referees are against us. They still talk that shit. And it's like, God, I've already mentioned many, 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 many times on this show how much I hate people who bitch and complain about refs. And so when I hear that shit, I always just, it's amusing to me because it does nothing. Number one, you still lost. And we still won, so fuck you. And it was hilarious to see their stupid Light the Beam campaign, little bullshit that they've been doing all season long. And I mean, their fans are such little twats over that thing too, because I've mentioned many times, I grew up in Reno, Nevada, and there is a show, a radio show I listen to that is based in Sacramento, California. But they also broadcast in Reno, and I still listen to them regularly because it's a great fucking show. It's called the Rob Anybody and Don Show, if you want to check that out. You probably have if you're in the area, because they're the best thing that's over there. But anyways, there was one day they basically spent the entire episode of Crybaby Kings fans, like, crying, because they were making fun of how stupid it is, because honestly, Light the Beam, that shit is dumb. But okay, whatever. If that quote motivates you, good for you. But it was hilarious because they were basically mocking it the whole time, and Kings fans were actually calling in, like, crying and upset that they were made fun of. And then they were even more upset that they actually found out that when you press the big button, like when the player presses the big button, they don't actually light the beam. Somebody behind the scenes does it. And they were actually upset about that. Like, they thought it ruined the, quote, magic. I'm like, dude, it's basketball. You should be excited that your team's doing good. But, of course, they were too focused on the goddamn beam. And guess what? Steph Curry dimmed that beam. Holy shit. I mentioned when I was breaking down my top 10 greatest NBA players of all time. And I did mention, I didn't put any current players in other than LeBron, because I feel like LeBron has basically already cemented his legacy. He's only just adding to it. Well, Steph Curry is almost there, especially if he wins a championship this year. Steph Curry will have 5 rings. Let's just put it that way. And that puts him in company with the likes of Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Kareem, like that puts Bill Russell, it puts him up there with them. So he is, it's just crazy that, because I mean, I kind of feel like while Curry is still playing at a high level, I kind of feel like he peaked probably a couple years ago. You know what I'm saying? He's still good. He still puts it out there, but I feel like, you know, he's not going to drop 50 points and break records like he did yesterday. Steph Curry dropped 50 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists. And holy shit, this guy, he took over this entire series. It's just insane to watch what he continues to do. And I've been a huge fan, love Steph Curry. Gonna always root that dude on just because I just love his game. And it was fun to watch him. But also too, man, Klay's putting it together. Draymond's putting it together. This team is putting it together at the right time. And they are the defending champs for a reason, but it was hilarious to see them dim the beam of the Sacramento Kings, or the Sacramento Queens, as Shaq called them. Anyways, now let's break down the Western Conference semifinals matchup between the Lakers and the Golden State Warriors that begins Tuesday night in San Francisco. And this one, like I said, the Lakers, while they showed me something against the Grizzlies, they also had those really stupid games. Like when they lost, I'm like, do you guys even know what you're doing out there? Like sometimes it just kind of feels like they're freestyling, and that's not how you win basketball games. You actually have to set up plays and look really good out there on the court, kind of like the Golden State Warriors do. So far, the Lakers haven't shown me that they can actually advance to the next round, even though, of course, I will be rooting them on. But I don't think they have a shot at beating the Golden State Warriors, especially because the Warriors are coming off of this big win against the Kings. And the Kings were not a chump team, as much as I hate them. They were a good team, and when you beat them, that's a big deal. And it was that was a crazy series back and forth. But with the way that the Golden State Warriors are now putting it together, they are the defending champs. They've been here many times before. And here we are with LeBron James moving over to the Western Conference, and he's facing off against Steph and the Warriors yet again for the fifth time. So, I mean, the Warriors do own this quote, rivalry against LeBron, so there's that as well. But Anthony Davis, it's been nice because he actually had a great series. It was kind of shaky at first. In the first game, it looked like he was going to be injured. And, like, of course, he gets injured in the first game. But no, luckily, he came right back in. And so far, injuries have not been an issue with him or LeBron or anybody else on the team so far. So they looked good. It was a nice series against the Grizzlies. But I don't expect them to beat the Warriors. Warriors are putting it together. And real talk, don't be shocked if you see the Warriors winning the championship yet again, because they are making a run at the right time. They know how to do this, and they've got greatness throughout the whole team, because not even just Steph Curry, but like I said, Klay Thompson's back to normal. I mean, Klay had some big games in this series. He made some big shots yesterday, too. And then Draymond Green also, once again, playing big in this series. Andrew Wiggins has stepped it up. And then, of course, they've got Kerr as their coach. So I just kind of feel like their experience really puts them above the rest. And, you know, if it goes 7 games like it did against the Kings, I would bet on them just because they know how to win in that time, that moment. So I do think it's going to be a good series against the Lakers. I don't think the Lakers are going to roll over and be that horrible, but I just don't think they're going to be able to win a 7-game series against the Warriors. And I actually have the Warriors winning the series against the Lakers in 6 games. Then moving on to the rest of the weekend's games, the semi-conference finals did kick off this weekend. Beginning on Saturday, we had the Denver Nuggets absolutely dominate the Phoenix Suns 125-107. Very shocking game from the Suns. But then again, I mean, they rely heavy on their 4 starters. And their bench doesn't get a lot of playing time. As a matter of fact, their starters average the highest playing amount of minutes on the court. So that could be an issue for them. But then also, when Denver has other players besides Nikola Jokic step up, and Jokic did have a fantastic game, But if he has a couple other guys step up, then the Denver Nuggets are a solid-ass team. And so Jokic, he had 24 points, 19 rebounds, 5 assists. Jamal Murray, heard that name a shit ton in the first round. Well, here we still are. He had 34 points, 9 assists. And then Aaron Gordon, he was that other guy out there just knocking down the shots, making the big plays. He dropped 23 points. But really, all their role players stepped it up. And then just the Suns, they kind of looked gassed. And Kevin Durant did not. Kevin Durant actually looked really damn good. So it just was kind of one of those things. It just kind of felt like the Suns were a little bit overpowered by the Nuggets. But I still have faith in the Suns in the throughout the series. And game two is actually tonight, Monday night. And then yesterday, we had the Miami Heat against the New York Knicks. Playoff Jimmy Butler is still here to stay. The Miami Heat got the win against the Knicks, 108-101. It was at first, the first half was pretty much dominated by the Knicks. Then third quarter rolls around, and it's slowly starting to turn towards the Miami Heat. And then Jimmy Butler just started knocking down some heavy shots. But it wasn't just him. Butler did have a great game, 25 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists. But also Kyle Lowry finally showed up. He's kind of disappeared this season. He hasn't really shown up a whole lot for the Heat. But when he does, he's a factor, and he was a factor in this game. And then you also had Bam Adebayo, who also had a good game, 16 points, 8 rebounds. So the Miami Heat take the 1-0 lead in a close series. And Julius Randle still didn't play yesterday. He's still questionable for the next game. And then for game two, which is going to be Tuesday night, it looks like Butler for the Heat and Brunson are also both questionable to play. Now, I would expect them to play, but at this rate, we're losing a lot of stars in these playoff games, which really sucks if you're a fan. But it hasn't hurt the play on the court so far. The playoffs have been really, really fun to watch. And, hey, I'm still happy that the Lakers are still in it, and I have something to root for once. And then also Monday night, game one of the Philadelphia 76ers versus Boston Celtics series kicks off. Right now, they're in the third quarter, and Boston's up 68-63. They've pretty much dominated this game. Joel Embiid is not playing right now. He's out for this game. But James Harden's actually shown up. He had over 20 points at halftime. Don't know where he's at now, obviously, because I haven't been paying attention. I kind of have a feeling Boston's going to go ahead and run away with game one. But we'll see how the rest of the series turns out. It's going to suck if we don't get any Joel Embiid, because that's what cut the 76ers season short last year. Is he got injured in the first round, and actually right before the first round, and then he got more injured in the first round, and then it just kind of fell apart from there for the 76ers, and it's going to suck if that happens again. I mean, I know that's the way the cookie crumbles. Injuries are a part of the game, but it just sucks because I personally like Joel Embiid a lot. I think he's a fun player to watch, and it would be nice to see him excel, especially in the postseason, because we really haven't seen that from him yet, just because he's been getting injured. So hopefully we'll see him in game two. But so far, Boston is leading the 76ers 38-31. Well, now the score's not up there. Taking some free throws. Jason Tatum's taking free throws. They are up 70-65 in the third quarter. So looks like it's a close game. They're keeping it close. So good for the 76ers, because they're definitely going to need that. But like I said, hopefully we get Embiid back and they make a series, because if Embiid does not show up for this series, or at least be somewhat, have some type of effect on the game, Boston's going to run away with that series, that's for sure. All right, so let's move on to the top 10 MLB power rankings this week. Not a huge shakeup, a couple new teams in here, but there are still the two surprising teams in here. Beginning with number one is still the Tampa Bay Rays. They continue to just dominate. I mean, they've had a couple bad series here and there, but overall they're still doing well. They're 23-6 overall on the season, 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost a series to the Houston Astros, but swept the Chicago White Sox. It kind of feels like everybody is sweeping the White Sox as of late. But basically, the Rays are in first place in every single category of baseball this season, including they lead the league with 195 home runs, whereas the Texas Rangers are in second place with 178 runs. Not home runs, I meant runs. 195 runs, and the Rangers have 178 runs. So that's how much the Rays are scoring right now. They're just scoring at an exceptional rate. And, of course, it's being led by Randy Arozarena, who had his breakout season a couple seasons ago in 2020, actually, when the Rays went to the World Series. He just really broke out. And then last year, he kind of had a down year. I think it was mostly due to injury. But this year, the guy is money. He's batting .327, 7 home runs, and 28 RBI on the season. And just raking, but he's not the only one. Wander Franco, he's having a good season. Lowe is having a good season. I mean, really, God, who's the first? Is it Diaz? Yonder Diaz? Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's his name, Yonder Diaz. He is having a great year. He's got 7 home runs on the season as well. But then you turn to the pitching side of things. You got Shane McClanahan, who's leading the league in wins with 5 wins. He's got a 2.12 ERA and 42 strikeouts on the season. So he's just having a great season. Their bullpen is lights out. I mean, the Rays, they're just looking really, really solid right now. Then moving on to number 2 on my top 10 MLB power rankings. Still, the Pittsburgh Pirates, cannot believe it. They are 20-9 on this season. I can't believe that. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. Once again, I can't believe that. This past week, they won a series against the Dodgers, and then they also won a series against the Nationals as well. And they are just doing it in so many different ways. They have all these young dudes stepping it up. They've got this Velasquez pitcher. He's got 4 wins, a 3.06 ERA, 32 strikeouts on the season. Then you've got Zawinski, this outfielder who's come out of nowhere. He's got 6 home runs, 18 RBI on the season. Like, they've got so many different guys stepping it up this season. It's just crazy that the Pirates are not only in first place in their division, but they're actually looking like a legit baseball team. As I continue to reiterate, I don't know how long it's going to last, if this is going to be something that they're able to maintain throughout the entire season, but so far from the Pirates, they look like a legit squad. Then at number 3 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Toronto Blue Jays, overall record of 18-10. This past week, they swept the White Sox. They either swept them or took 2 or 3, whatever. They won the series against the White Sox. And then they also won a series against the Seattle Mariners as well. And this is just a team that I've expected them to be this good. They've got a ton of offensive power. You've got Bo Bichette, who's batting a .317 with 6 home runs, 18 RBI. Then you, of course, have Vlad Guerrero. He's batting a .309 with 5 home run and 15 RBI. Their pitching is doing great. Kevin Gausman, they haven't really backed him up with the wins. He's killing it with the ERA and the strikeouts right now. So he's coming in and making the plays that he needs to. It's just that it seems the offense lets him down when he gets the start. But I mean, overall, you wouldn't think their offense is down just because they are looking really, really good this season. Then at number 4 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Atlanta Braves, overall record of 19-9. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series from the Miami Marlins, and they got a win against the New York Mets, but the rest of the series was postponed due to weather. I mean, really, the Braves are just doing what the Braves are doing. You know, they have a ton of offensive and defensive weapons and great starting pitching. I mean, Spencer Strider, already talked about him the other day, how he's just been one of the best pitchers in the league since the day he hit the major leagues. But then one of their few offensive players behind the plate that I haven't really talked about much this season is Austin Riley. He's starting to get it going as well. He's batting a .253, 5 home runs, 15 RBI. But then you also have Ozzie Albies, who's had a hot couple of weeks as well. He's got 7 home runs and 23 RBI on the season. And then, of course, Acuña, he's batting well over a .300 right now. I think he's at like .356 or something crazy like that. So he's just been very consistent behind the plate. They've been very consistent with the starting pitching. They've had their ups and downs, but then again, they are in one of the toughest divisions in baseball, so they're going to have their ups and downs. But, I mean, the Braves, you can't count them out of any game because they have some of the top players at in many positions in the game that superstars. It's crazy for how many years that the Braves still have a lot of the, you know, they just re-signed all these Acuñas and Rileys and Albies and, you know, Strider's a young guy. So this team is probably going to be good for quite some time. Then at number five on my top 10 MLB power rankings, a team I still can't believe is up here, and that is the Baltimore Orioles. Overall record of 19-9. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Boston Red Sox and the Detroit Tigers. They are just a very well-oiled machine. They don't have a lot of superstars other than their catcher, Adley Rutschman. He's having a great season. He's batting .291 with four home runs and 17 RBI. But overall, they're really just all their players are just getting the job done, stepping up when they need to. They've got Mountcastle, who's been hitting the home runs out of the park. But then you've got guys like Rutschman getting the playing the small ball, getting the guys on base, and getting the runs batted in as well. But then also defensively, they're looking well. And then their pitching, for some reason, has not let up. Usually they'll have a good starting rotation, but they just never seem to put it together. And this year they are putting it together, at least so far they are. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to believe in the Orioles, but they're still here. I mean, I had to keep them at five. I couldn't justify putting them over the Braves or even the Blue Jays, just because I feel like both of those teams are far superior. And the Pirates, they're just on such a tear right now, it's really difficult to actually start dropping them down at any point. So the Orioles, I felt like five was a good spot, because while I don't really believe in them to, you know, be a championship team, they're still having a good season, and they're playing well right now, at least. Then at number six on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Houston Astros. Overall record of 15-13. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they won the series against the Tampa Bay Rays, but lost the series against the Philadelphia Phillies. But man, Yordan Alvarez, he is picking right up where he left off last year. He's batting .272 with six home runs and 27 RBI. But then you also have, because the question for the Astros this year was, who are they going to fill the empty spot of Justin Verlander? Because Justin Verlander, he has been their ace for years. Basically, since they traded for him from the Detroit Tigers, Verlander's been that dude. And, you know, they lost him to the Mets in the offseason. And it sounds like they have found his replacement in Hunter Brown, who's got three wins on the season with a .237 ERA and 32 strikeouts on the season. So who knows? I mean, he's obviously got big shoes to fill with Verlander, but so far he's having a really good season. Valdez still pitching his ass off as well. But the Astros, they're starting to get going. They are starting to get going. So look out for the Astros. Then at number seven on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Milwaukee Brewers. Overall record of 18-10. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost a series to the Detroit Tigers and won a series against the Los Angeles Angels. They've been hot for the most part, but this week, these past couple of weeks, they have started to decline a little bit. And when you lose to the Tigers, it's a pretty big deal, or at least lose a series to the Tigers that matters, since they're terrible. But Wade Miley, he's having a great season at starting pitcher with three wins, with a 1.86 ERA and 19 strikeouts on the season. But then this Brian Anderson guy, who's come absolutely out of nowhere, has just been on fire for the Brewers. He's batting a .255 with five home runs and 20 RBI. And he has kind of cooled off a little bit, but he's still making some big plays for them. And the Brewers still playing some good baseball right now. Then number eight on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Texas Rangers. Overall record of 17-11. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. They started off the week losing a series to the Cincinnati Reds. As a matter of fact, they got swept by the Cincinnati Reds, which is just pathetic. Because if you didn't know, there are a few really pathetic franchises this season where they're like setting really low attendance markers. And the Reds are one of them. The other day, in their stadium, they only had something like, I believe, 7,000 fans, and their stadium fills like 40,000, I believe. And that says a lot, because, you know, I mean, the Reds actually do have a pretty decent fan base. It's just they are not putting a good product on the field. But they did sweep the Rangers, so congratulations to them. Oh, by the way, the other team that is having horrible struggles, but they are moving to Vegas, so it doesn't really matter, is the Oakland A's. They set their low attendance record at about 3,000 the other night. So yeah, that's pretty fucking pathetic. And as I mentioned, that stadium's awful, but I mean, their fans haven't really showed up. There's a reason why they're moving to Vegas. And, yeah, setting low attendance records like that is pretty bad. It's funny because when you see that, one would think, why would you want to own a franchise? How do you make money? Trust me, you actually don't need the fans and the stands to be making money. And that right there alone proves it all. So, yeah, it's really all in the advertising. If you didn't know, that's where the majority of sports teams make their money. In the advertising and in all the TV deals that they get, that's where they get all their revenue. Yes, they do. Of course, you want fans in the stands and you make money with fans in the stands, but you're not going to go out of business if you ain't got no fans in the stands. It's just pathetic when you're watching it on TV, and then it's also pathetic if you're a player in that stadium. I can't even imagine being a player for the A's and the Reds right now, and that's what you come out to, like not even empty stadium, because most of us consider empty like, there's like mostly the lower tier is full, and then there's a little bit sprinkled here in the top there. That's a light day. But imagine what it looks like with only 3,000 fans in the stands. It's like bad. And I've seen it on TV and I've looked at it a couple times. I'm like, wow. I mean, if I lived in Oakland and I were an A's fan, I'd be going to baseball games all the time because it would be real easy to get good ass seats. And I'm sure they're pretty cheap, but, whoa. But anyways, back to the, number 8 team who actually has no issues filling the stands. That would be the Texas Rangers, 'cause they have real fans. They also have a new stadium that looks beautiful. I haven't been to it. I've just seen, the outside of it and, looks nice. They got swept by the Reds, but then they took a series against the Yankees and they stomped the Yankees yesterday, and they've just been scoring runs like no other. Like I said, they're second in the league right now with 178 runs on the season. And it's just, man, Adolis Garcia, he has really just broken out this year. He's batting a .267 with 8 home runs and 30 RBI. But then you also have Martin Perez, their starting pitcher. He's having a phenomenal year, 4 wins with a .241 ERA and 26 strikeouts. The Rangers are really putting it together, no surprise. As I've said, Bruce Bochy, I knew he was going to turn that organization around. I'm not shocked that it's been so quick. They're looking pretty good right now. And especially, like I said, they stomped the Yankees yesterday. I think the final score was something like 15-2. It was bad. When a baseball score is 15-2, you know, that's a crazy score right there for a baseball game. Then at number 9, I'm a top 10 MLB power rankings of the Los Angeles Angels. First time they have made the top 10 this year. I'm glad they are working their way up, and they deserve it because they're actually playing really well right now. They're 15-14 on the season, 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Oakland A's and lost the series against the Milwaukee Brewers. But man, Shohei Ohtani, the unicorn, is just having such a great year, both pitching and hitting. Starting pitching, he's got 4 wins on the season with a 1.85 ERA and 46 strikeouts on the season. Then he's batting a .294 with 7 home runs and 18 RBI on the season. And then you've got Mike Trout, who's usually the number one guy you're talking about. But since Ohtani is doing what he's doing, you're not really hearing about Trout. But Trout is silently hitting a paltry .308 with 7 home runs and 18 RBI on the season. So what you call a typical Mike Trout season, where he's just mashing. And nobody really cares because Ohtani is just doing it. He's just crazy. It's so much fun to watch what he's doing, and you really hope they keep it up. And like I said, it's nice to see them in my top 10 because I actually do. I'm not an Angels fan because they did beat my San Francisco Giants in a World Series I would like to forget from back in 2002. Yeah, over 20 years ago. It still stings, but I do like Ohtani, and I do like Trout. So It would be nice to see the both of them at least make the postseason, because, I mean, really, it's kind of pathetic that Mike Trout, I bet you I can count on one hand how many seasons the Angels have made the postseason with him on the team. And he's been playing for quite some time now. So that's pretty pathetic. So it would be nice to see the Angels at least make the playoffs this year so we could see something just showcase Ohtani, because this is probably going to be the last year that the Angels have Ohtani as well, because he's going to be a free agent next year, and I don't see why he would stay with the Angels. They're not a big market team. They're not a winning team, and they don't look like they have a future of winning, so there's a good chance Ohtani is going to be gone after this season. He's, I imagine, going to be the most sought-after free agent in... Well, I mean, we had some sought-after free agents last year, so, I mean, usually free agency is pretty crazy. But I'm sure Ohtani is going to be the top guy next year, and I doubt he's going to be re-signing with the Angels just because they don't really have a promising future. But, hey, if they make the playoffs this year, that could really change things. And, you know, you got Mike Trout in the lineup with you. That you can't really be upset about that. So if they're able to... I don't know, maybe make a couple of trades. They are actually playing really well right now. I mean, it's not even just Ohtani and Trout who are playing well. It's just overall as a team, the Angels are actually playing pretty well. So who knows what they're able to do towards the end of the season. But right now, not too bad. Then rounding out my top 10 MLB power rankings, a team I finally had put in here. That would be the stupid Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, luckily, they're still not doing that well. As a matter of fact, the Diamondbacks are still in first place in the National League West. It's just the Dodgers are actually surging, and they're going to overtake the Diamondbacks any day now. And they've actually been tied back and forth, back and forth. So right now, on the season, the Dodgers are 16-13. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost a series to the Pirates, but they swept the Cardinals. But, I mean, even though they're still kind of shaky, it's crazy that Clayton Kershaw is still pitching out of his mind. I kind of assume this guy, you know, the last couple of seasons, I want to say what now, like the last four-ish seasons, he's been on and off the injured list, on and off the injured list. So he's just been kind of that dude who comes out, he's great when he plays, but then he gets injured for a couple months. Then he comes back, he's great when he plays, and he gets injured for a couple months. So that's just been kind of the story of Kershaw's life the last four or five seasons. But this year, he's actually back to Kershaw, like, Cy Young form. I mean, he's got five wins, which leads the league, of course. That's tied for the league lead in wins. And he's got a 189 ERA, great, and then 41 strikeouts on the season. So he is just having a typical Kershaw year. And unless he gets injured, you can't ever count this dude out. He's right there with Verlander and Scherzer where you, like, are these guys ever going to fall off? Because you feel like they're going to. And then when they don't, you're like, what? You guys are still pitching like this? It's crazy. But but yeah, I was shocked to read Kershaw's stats because I really I hadn't looked at them much just because I haven't had to put the Dodgers in the top 10. So I haven't really had to thoroughly look over them. But Kershaw is having a great season. You know who else is having a good season for the Dodgers? That would be Max Muncy. He has come out of nowhere. He's kind of been a background dude for the last couple of seasons, but this year he is on some. He's batting a .238 with 11 home runs, which leads the league, by the way, and 22 RBIs on the season. So he's just having a great year. The Dodgers, they've been pretty shaky this year, but like I said, I expect them to overtake the Diamondbacks for the first place position here any day. But then again, the Padres are starting to get hot too. They stomped my Giants into oblivion in Mexico this weekend. That was pretty shitty. I mean, they had a close fun game on Saturday where they were basically just trading home run after home run after home run, which was just really cool to see. But the Giants, of course, lost. But the Padres are starting to get hot, as they should, because they have a lot of fucking talent. You just look at them and go, why are you and the Angels such failures? You have all these great players, but you can't do shit right. Get it together. But there is still plenty of baseball left. And like I said, the Dodgers are starting to get hot. The Padres are starting to get hot. The Giants still look like shit. So baseball's not that enjoyable right there for me. The Yankees starting to suffer their injuries yet again. It's kind of weird to me because I've noticed with the Yankees the last 5-6 years, they get injured so much. And one would think that the Yankees would have like the best training and trainers and health officials possible so your team isn't getting hurt as much. I mean, it's just something I've always noticed with them because, you know, Stanton's always hurt. You know, when he's in the lineup, he's great, but he's almost always injured. Then, you know, you've got, looks like Harrison Bader is going to be coming back here pretty soon. And then Aaron Judge was just put on the injured list today. He's another guy who kind of, you know, he's often on the injured list every once in a while. Doesn't look like it's going to be anything serious. It looks like he'll just, you know, miss the 10 to 15 days. It's kind of weird to see this happen to the Yankees, and it's been kind of one of their issues. But even so, their starting pitching is still really good. But you'll notice they did fall out of the top 10 this week because they are not playing so well right now, especially because, like I said, they got their asses beat by the Texas Rangers this weekend. So Yankees not in there, but they probably will shoot back up there at any time. But that is the top 10 MLB power rankings for the week. And I hope you guys all enjoy the rest of the week of the NBA playoffs and baseball. And I will talk to you fools on Friday.